Susan, John, welcome to The Signal.
Thank you.
So this film, Understanding Joy, this was very eye-opening. I really had never seen a story like Joy's play out like that. What was it like for you guys working on this project?
Well, we had never seen anything like this play out either. And before we started working with the Center on Problem Gambling, we didn't know that gambling could be an addiction. And when we met Joy and actually experienced this with her, it was really quite terrifying to know that something like gambling could be just like drugs or any other addiction which can control you.
And you spent a lot of time with her, I'd imagine.
Well, it kind of started and stopped and started again because she was in the process. I mean, the access we had was kind of unusual in that she wasn't sentenced yet. So our participation, you know, started to kind of affect, or she was afraid it was going to start to affect what her sentence was going to be and how that was going to play out. So she got very, very nervous, you know, and I, as a photographer, I was dying to get into the courtroom to get that moment or those moments when this was playing out. Unfortunately, we didn't. But even from the outside, you know, people being aware, her lawyer being aware of her participation in the documentary, that us observers started to have an impact on the...
Huh. So you spent, it seemed like a long period of time working with her and building, she was very honest with you about her addiction and about what she had done and pretty much tells you all of the ways in which she really destroyed her entire life for gambling.
Yeah, I mean, before she agreed to do this, I had spoken to her on the phone for over a month. You know, obviously people have reservations about coming out with this kind of disease. And particularly for gambling, it's not very well recognized by society. And it also can impact your future employment, your future relationships. It's really something quite brave to do. So I spent a long time with Joy on the phone, even before we went down to meet her. And I always had to say to her, no, that will be that will be shown. And that's hard as a producer, because we generally show positive overcoming obstacles, but we were, in this case, not showing overcoming obstacles, but the devastation of a disease.
I give her, Joy, a lot of credit for just really laying it all out there. Because you can see, you know, as, you know, the story progresses, you can kind of see, you know, the looks pass across her face, and you can kind of see her going through the process. It's kind of like talk therapy. She's just kind of going through the whole litany of what she had gone through and what she had done to others and that kind of thing. And she, you can just kind of watch it pass in front of her face. And
yeah. Like she's coming to terms with what all that she's done and all that she's responsible for. I thought it was very interesting that she still never quite was able to bring herself to say how much money she had stolen from her employer. You know, it's just like this one thing that she just really couldn't reconcile in her mind.
I think, you know, that she also still also questioned why she had done this and how she could have not controlled herself and how she could have gone against everything she believed in. So I don't think any issue was really resolved, and obviously not the amount of money she had taken either.
Well, and that is a lot of money. I mean, I found myself sympathizing with her, and I found myself almost rooting for her, even though I had this overwhelming sense that, of course, she's not going to get off clean for this. I mean, she's committed crimes. She's, you know, but she has a problem. She does have a disease, but she's also committed crimes in order to support that, which puts her in this very strange realm between the people who are wanting to help her and the people who want her to pay for her crimes.
And I think that's something we're going to see more and more of in Maryland. With increased gambling opportunities, we're going to have to face the situation that as people have greater access to gambling, more people who may not have developed this disease are going to develop this condition. And they're going to take money that doesn't belong to them, just like a drug addict would, to feed their addiction. And we don't have a system yet set up in the state, I don't think, to handle this.
There's a really good study that was done at UMBC when the state was wrestling with whether to bring gambling into the state. And that study basically showed that when you put a casino in, you more or less start growing, is the way I think about it, is you start growing problem gamblers. Now, that's not a judgment against casinos or anything like that. That's just kind of a fact. That's just kind of what happens. You give them problem gamblers an opportunity, and they'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, we've wrestled with this as a society for forever, it seems. You know, alcohol being banned because some people should not have access to alcohol. We can all agree that some people should never have access to alcohol, yet it's legal. Drugs people become addicted to, we know that they can get them. And sometimes we're very quick to judge people for their, you know, what we see as a weakness or something. But it seems like things are changing. You interview a lot of people. I had no idea that there was a gambling treatment court, that you could actually go through a system where they really know what you're going through and they try to help you. Did you know about all these things?
No, and in Maryland, unfortunately, there isn't. You know, there is one gambling treatment court in the United States that's that judge is featured in the documentary. So unfortunately, you know, Maryland is just at the beginning of this journey. And I think that what this documentary can do is to educate people that gambling can become a severe problem and that there is help out, there is therapy. That's what we're trying to do now in Maryland, is to develop therapists who can work with this condition, because as John was saying, geographical proximity, if you live within 50 miles of a casino and you have this potential problem, it's going to develop. So more and more people are at risk, and we have to develop the infrastructure in Maryland and the awareness that this is a problem.
And casinos aren't the only, you know, route. I mean, there's dice in the city, you know, there's sports gambling. There's already gambling available for people who want to engage in it, of, you know, whatever age, ethnicity, you know, socioeconomic strata you belong to. If you have a problem, you can certainly find a way to dig yourself deeply into it.
And every argument under the sun for and against casinos has been made. I mean, we've all lived through that whole process in Maryland. And there's still many people who see it as, well, hey, it's not a problem for me. Why is it a problem for anybody else? But I think changing that culturally, that's going to be a big, big process.
Well, we've just started. This is the end of our first year working with the Maryland Center on Problem Gambling, and we're trying everything we can think of to bring it to people's attention, whether it's for yourself or a family member, that you should be aware of the signs and symptoms of this disease so you can get help before people do start stealing money or getting into trouble with legal issues.
You worked with some Baltimore area youth on some really fun, I love the Dice Zombies video. Can you talk a little bit about working on those projects too?
Well, one of the things that the Center for Problem Gambling wants us to address is these different groups of potential problem gamblers. And certainly, especially for men, they start gambling very, very young. They tend to be what they call action gamblers. So they enjoy, like, the game and the process and, all that kind of thing. So one of the things we wanted to address was, especially with the casino coming in downtown, was the younger people, getting them early with this message that, you know, you can really get hooked on gambling. So I have a teenage son, and zombies are very popular amongst teenagers. That was an odd segue, but we knew that zombies would be something that would be interesting to them. So we came up with this concept of the Baltimore Dice Zombies, and basically using the metaphor that, you know, as they become addicted to gambling, they turn into zombies. So that's kind of the visual.
Well, and the kids seem to get it. I mean, this didn't seem like a concept that, you know, they didn't understand. I'm sure they've watched people. I mean, everyone knows someone who, you know, you sort of say, you're getting a little carried away. Like maybe even scratch-offs, or they play poker with their friends, and they seem to take it just that one step past a healthy interest. But I do think culturally we have such a hard time when it doesn't affect us. But mentioning zombies, I mean, Joy, in Understanding Joy, talks almost about herself as this zombie creature that would go. She talks about it with almost disgust, about driving by herself to a casino and spending all of her time with a slot machine. The way she just says, like,
it's the same machine.
Yes.
It's not like she was jumping from machine to machine.
Yeah.
It's the same machine.
But she could not control that. It's like a zombie, a flesh-eating zombie cannot really be held accountable for their behavior.
Well, one of the doctors says on screen, you know, your brain is hijacked by this addiction.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very interesting to see, like, the actual centers of activity in your brain being affected by this, much as drug addicts. And also, just like drug addicts, having to get more and more to satisfy, to reach that same high.
Right.
Well, and the movie, it doesn't have a happy ending. I mean, we all know, I think people will recognize Joy as someone that could be their neighbor, someone who could be a family member, someone who's just sort of a decent woman, except for this one thing.
And one of the messages, certainly, we hope we get out is that even putting her away for 8 years or whatever she ends up serving is not a cure, that she is still going to have, you know, it's like an alcoholic or a drug addict. She's still going to have this issue that she really needs to address. And she's certainly motivated, seems motivated and really wants to get better. She is being a part of a group, starting a GA group at Jessup because there wasn't one there before. And she was really interested in being a part of that. But just locking someone up is not going to cure them of any kind of gambling addiction.
At least we're starting to sort of look at it, and the center will be hopefully having some influence on how we treat gambling addiction and treat it more as a disease model than as just a criminal act.
Right, and hopefully a lot more prevention, a lot more public awareness that this is a disease, can develop into a disease. We'll at least put it on people's radar so we can look out for each other.
Right. Well, I want to thank you guys both for all your work, and thanks for coming in today to talk about it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Producers Susan Hanna-Hadari and John Anglum of Med School Maryland Productions. You can see Understanding Joy, The Devastation of Gambling Addiction, online at mpt.org, and you can find the youth videos at baltimoredicezombies.org. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.